still my heart. Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always, or mostly always, Pastor
mostly
and friend
always.
Jason Hayes.
It has been less than mostly the last
Yeah,
month
we've had
or so.
We've
I
had
apologize.
To pull Chuck out of the bullpen
yeah.
twice now. And speaking of bullpen, you were I'm trying to get my mind right, last week you were trying out for a major league team in spring training.
Yes.
Is that
so
what was
for
going
all
on?
Of our listeners, as you guys, if you don't know how I look, I am built like a major league baseball superstar.
Think of what's his name, Judge on the Yankees,
Aaron Judge. That's
and,
right.
And it's like
it's almost
Jason.
Exactly the same thing, except for about a foot and a lot of muscle. No, so I actually was out of town. My wife was in South Carolina. She was taking care of her mother who had a recent surgery. I took the boys. Do I get some type of like parent of the year award? I took the boys alone to Disney. Yes.
That's pretty good.
Now, with that said, we only went to the Magic Kingdom one day. We did no other parks. We were mostly there to watch some spring training at Wide World Sports. And so,
which is always cool.
It was super fun. The Braves were playing. We got to see him play the Nats. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And so big week. The highlight of probably the game against the Nationals was when I sent Hayden across the ballpark to go get my oldest son Hayden to go get the autograph on the first base line of Dansby Swanson. Mm. The catch was when he came back with the photo. We realized he had gotten a picture with Charlie Culberson, who looks a lot like Dansby Swanson, but has a lot less kind of celebrity appeal.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so you probably made that guy's day.
It is what it is. But we had a great time, man. I've got these three incredible boys, and it's always hard to be away from mom or you know my wife Carrie. But we had a great time with them.
Yep.
Did you guys do anything for spring break?
We kind of hung out at the house. We didn't do much. And then my brother came up over the weekend because their children are spring break this week.
Right.
And so they came up over the weekend. They stayed with us on Friday night. He has six kids. And so our house was full.
The van was being fully used.
And then we actually went to Dollywood with them on Sunday. So I didn't come to church on Sunday. I went to Dollywood. We can talk about that later.
Yeah,
So we met them at Dollywood. Here's the thing: like we didn't pull up. We haven't been to Dollywood in a long time.
Yeah,
our kids are young, and so then now they're just at the age where they can actually have fun there. And so we didn't pull up ticket prices. We didn't pull up anything. We didn't plan for this. It was just kind of last minute thing. So we park, and then we're walking up, and Aaron's like, I think it's like $30 a piece.
Oh,
and I was like,
oh my.
In my mind, I thought, I feel like it's more than that, but okay, whatever. So I pull up the app, and oh my goodness.
It was not that.
And so we looked at it, and Aaron went, this is how some would say frugal, I would say cheap we are. Aaron was like, should we just text your brother and say, we'll meet up with them afterwards. and I said, no, we're already here. We've already paid for parking. And so we bit the bullet. And,
did you actually buy – did you go ahead and do the season
We did
tickets?
Not. I probably
okay.
should have.
Yeah.
I probably should have. But we but because of that, I forced my son to ride some things he didn't want to ride. Because I was like, we paid a lot of money.
Don't you tell me that you're scared of this. I paid a lot of money for
this. Yeah, so he did. He rode the Eagle, which took a lot of convincing. But that was really his first, like, legit roller coaster, and he did a great job.
I think I am correct in saying this, but it feels like the last few years, they have not done what they did this year, which was, it felt like in the last few years, opening day was on the back end of Knox County spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make a lot of sense. You would think everyone would want to you know, go to Dollywood during spring break, and it sounds like this year they actually the stars aligned and that worked out.
It was
so good for you guys.
Yeah, it was a good time. And
did you have to we had to refinance the house yet to pay for
close.
The Dollywood ticket?
I am to be transparent. I am selling a car today. So,
it's not the van.
It isn't. Of course not.
Okay.
Of course
just
not.
Making
we're not.
Sure.
We're not getting rid of the van. So also with all that being said, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. And of course, we had Chuck on last week, and he's an Alabama fan. So we couldn't really talk because Alabama is out.
Yeah,
they're not in the tournament.
Of course.
And so we couldn't really talk about the Vols and the March Madness in the tournament.
Yeah, and that's today. Actually, we're going to talk about March Madness.
Yeah.
Not so much just March Madness. We're actually going to talk today about sports, about fandom, about the balance of fandom and faith, and you know, where we should be in the midst of those murky waters of really having this allegiance towards the team, while also trying to be fully aware that sometimes our heart is too connected to the actions of 18 and 19-year-old right. kids. And so we're going to talk a bit about that. But what about our Vols for a moment?
Well, I mean, it's been if you have heart issues, I would say so Sunday we – when my wife and my sister-in-law discussed that we were going to go to Dollywood, I said, the game's at 12. What time are we meeting? It just doesn't – why would we go to Dollywood
right.
when the game is at 12?
Right.
And then I got a look, and we went to Dollywood.
Yeah.
And so yeah. and so because of that, we were – I was following on Twitter, and I was like, wow, we're up by 20 points. This is the greatest thing ever. I don't even have to be concerned about it. And then I kept pulling up Twitter, and then I kept going, oh, no, this is going to be like every other day.
Yes.
And there's going to be a lot of concern and worry. And because if I'm honest, I have a unhealthy involvement in this basketball team.
Yeah, it's been really bad. Obviously, we're both big. We both love sports in general, played sports growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
But for you, this particular team
has been
yeah. really special for you.
Yeah, I tweeted the other day that we have four children, but if we have a fifth, we will name that fifth Admiral Grant Jordan Fulkerson Barnes Wood. And I'm only half joking.
Yes, yes.
And so because they're so much fun to watch.
Right.
They seem like they legitimately enjoy each yeah. other's company. They've won, you know, Grant's won all the awards.
Right.
Coach Barnes won Coach of the Year.
There's all kinds of stories off the court
several of these guys
have been baptized
yeah.
into the faith. And
many of them went to church on Sunday when they got back.
Which is super cool.
And so
yeah. Big shout out to Tim Miller and some of
been,
the guys at Sevier Heights.
Way to
love on those guys. Love it.
And so it's just been one of those things where you're watching it and you do feel, even Mike, this is kind of the first time that Gavin – I always wanted my son to enjoy what I enjoy. And watching football and stuff, it's just been hard to get him into it. But he is really – he really enjoys this basketball
yeah.
team.
Have there been any moments so far in the last week or two that you've been able to say, my heart is maybe – not in the right place in this, or you know,
100%.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like I've never allowed, I've allowed games that I participated in to
sure.
kind of affect my days and affect my weeks. I've never found myself allowing college sports to affect my day or affect my interaction with my children or my family. This team and how they play 100% has affected my days, and that's unhealthy, and
yeah.
it's a problem.
And so, in this context, I think that's probably because you have such a fondness for these
sure.
these young men.
Yeah, yeah.
But the average person might have that because they're a long time Kentucky
sure.
fan or a long time Alabama fan. You know, how does one begin to process through that? You know, where
yeah.
do we begin to see what's healthy and what's not healthy, in your opinion?
Well, I think we justify a lot of things, and so we go, well, we live in Knoxville, we support the Vols, and
right.
and we should support them. And but I'll say what helps me is a wife that could care less about all of it.
Right.
And so when I get overly involved, whether that be screaming, not screaming, but you know,
you
yelling, raising my voice,
yeah.
or acting silly, or jumping up and down, or walking out. I saw
right.
a guy the other day, and he was like, I didn't vacuum during that entire overtime. You did. So, you know, because we try to deal with the emotions of it all. But having a spouse in my house that goes, look, this is ridiculous. You don't even know, like, personally, you don't know any of those people.
Yeah.
And why are you getting so hooked? And then we can look at it and go, well, you know, we kind of had such a drought in terms of success in sports in Knoxville,
yep.
that we finally feel like we actually have a shot
yeah.
at kind of breaking that drought. But it's a tough, and I even saw some pastors over the weekend say, hey, the game's at 12, be prepared to come to the most attended first service ever.
I saw one of those as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
And then I saw somebody tweet and go, what's a first service? I thought, oh wow, we have a lot to work on. But that's, you know, So I think that's where we are, and it is a tough balance, but we have to first admit, I mean, I've been saying for a while, look, I know I have an issue here. And that was another reason why I didn't push it on about Dollywood.
Right.
And I said, okay, I need to kind of probably separate from this and just go and enjoy my family.
And I think what you're hitting at is probably, a key issue. It's when does the game go beyond the game? Meaning, I think it's completely fine. We are not legalistic.
No.
You know, Jim and Johnny here that are opposed to sports and think sports are evil. I do think that it's okay to get fired up for a game or to be sad that a team lost or to be excited that a team won. But I think when it begins to transfer into our behaviors beyond that moment, and certainly it doesn't give us a pass to say terrible things,
right,
or to be tweeting out expletives or anything of that sort, but even when it does, when it begins to impact, like, hey, I don't want to hang out with my family today, or I screamed at my kid today because they just walked by the wrong time in the middle of a 25 point swing, that's concerning there. And I think for me, what I have to begin to see is there an indicator of something deeper there? I mean, there's always competitive nature.
Sure.
There's always just a funness to the sport. There's an excitement about maybe you're an alumni. There's those things in play. All of those are true for me, especially when it comes to this UT basketball program. But then again, I have to also ask myself, is there something about my heart that really needs some type of joy or some type of satisfaction that is beyond Christ? And sometimes that's true. I would say in my flesh, many times that's true. Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. But I think we at least have to be aware of that.
Well, and I think, I don't want people to hear this and go, okay, I need to just hang everything
no,
up.
No, heaven's sake.
Because, I mean, you have kids that play sports. I played sports all my life.
Right.
As you know, I'm really, a lot of the traits that I have came from sports, the leadership quality, different things like that, how to work as a team, all of that came from the baseball field. It came from the basketball court. And so those are important things. But what we have to do is prioritize those in the right way. And then you have some folks that go to the other extreme and say, you absolutely cannot watch any of this, and we're not going to make any changes in what we're doing today because just because the game's on. And I'm going, okay, like, I get that, but would it hurt?
Right.
You know, and so it's a fine line of trying to figure out. And we talked a few weeks ago about how we, at times, it's easy for us to live through our children who may be playing sports. This is a little bit different because these aren't my kids. I don't even know these kids personally. But it's an investment that can also teach some good things. I can teach my son the rules of basketball while we watch it. We can have those moments together. As long as I'm not yelling at him, we can have those nice, sweet moments that I think he'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, we'll talk about more when we come back.
So as we talk about March Madness, one thing that a lot of folks do during March Madness is they fill out a bracket.
Or multi-brackets.
I will say normally I do a few brackets. This year I just did one. I will say this. There are two brackets left in the country that are perfect, and one of them
has Tennessee
winning the championship. That's not my bracket. I mean, I did one bracket, and I do, in fact, have Tennessee winning it all. But I've made a lot of mistakes
are
in all the other games.
Are you more of a fill out your bracket by head or by heart?
Oh, definitely by heart.
Yeah.
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 I struggle, man.
It's hard to write any name besides Tennessee.
Yeah, it's almost like the team is watching me. This is weird, and that goes back to my unhealthy engagement. It's almost like when I was filling out the bracket that they were watching me, and I didn't want to hurt their feelings, and so I picked them to win it all. Isn't that weird? That's weird. It is.
That is very odd.
The final I have is Duke versus us, which is what I do not want to see.
So did you jump into like a pool in the office?
Nope.
Or you just filled out a bracket?
Just filled it out on my own.
Nope. I was going to ask how you were doing in comparison to some of your peers, but you don't really know.
Some of the folks in the office filled out brackets, and so I'm watching theirs.
Yeah.
But no one's really done great. We've all been kind of struggling.
Kind of a staff and a few of our leaders that come in and volunteer time and things of that sort. Some of those kind of regular faces around our team, we all did a little bit of a bracket challenge, and I believe that I am second.
Okay.
To last.
Oh.
Second to last.
Who's first?
We have two of our ladies are first and second right now.
Well, my son would say, well, the Bible says the first will be last and the last will be first. So
here,
congratulations, Jason.
Yeah. It feels.
You can pull that card.
It feels, yeah, conflicted at best. But anyways.
I remember as a kid, I would, because they didn't really have online brackets. You had to print them off. You had to write, you know, everything in. And I remember there were a couple years I got really into it, and I printed off giant sheet of paper, right, and I filled it all in, and I would, you know, those were the days when I had time to do all of that.
Yeah. I filled mine out, I think, about 45 minutes before the first game, just in time to be able to get a bracket submitted. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about, you know, our kind of emotional range that seems to be expanded, or at least, you know, we wander around from the ups and the downs on this emotional range when it comes to ball games at times. And again, maybe you don't have a team in the bracket or in the tournament right now. Maybe you don't care anything about basketball, but you love football or hockey, or probably not hockey, you know, but whatever it might be, you've got fandom for a certain team. You love watching them play sports. And we talk about sometimes we kind of have these emotional, you know, moments, but sometimes they enter into not just, you know, an outburst, which is jumping on the couch or, you know, or throwing a pillow, you know, but sometimes it turns into things that are just pure outrage publicly. Mm-hmm. It is using social media to blast a coach or to blast a player or to blast a referee. And why is it that we have found we seems to have given ourselves some permission to do that, although we certainly wouldn't affirm that. But as a culture, it seems that we've given ourselves some permission to do that.
Well, I think throughout sports, there's always been, you know, the guy or the girl from the stands yelling at a ref.
Right.
My dad used to sit up in the stand. He didn't know anything about any of the sports I was playing, but he would go, "Come on, ref. Come on, Blue," if it was baseball, and just, you know. And I would be looking. I was like, "That was a good call, Daddy. I don't know what you're upset about." But we would, you know, you always have that. I think what has happened is social media has now given us a platform to take it off of the field and out of the arena,
which seems to also make it more venomous. Because if I'm saying something to you, even if you've got your back turned to me, if you're a coach or you're an official. Even if you get your back turned to me, there is a reality that they could turn around, see what I'm saying. They could respond to it in some way. But when there's this chasm between us and those people that exist in social media or on the internet, it seems to give a permission to go much further than it should.
If I post something, say, specifically about a ref by name after a game, I don't know where that guy lives. He doesn't know who I am. He probably will never even see it.
Right.
And so there's a sense of, what's it matter? I want everybody to know how angry I am.
Right.
And what we don't realize is in some of those cases, there was an instance, I think, last year during a Kentucky game, somebody went after a ref, and he had a family business and lost everything.
Yeah.
Because
what happens is that you create a certain – well, if we're not careful, what we do is we are a part of that fury that is going out. And while we might never take it to this degree, someone else might. Mm-hmm. And so we say, well, what we're doing feels safe. It feels it's not harming anyone. You know, I just was angry and I spouted that out.
Right.
But then the next person goes and says, well, here's where he lives, yeah, or here's where he works, or here's where his kid goes to school. I mean, good grief. Yeah. You start to see these things. And obviously, I would hope our listeners know, you know, we've spoken a lot about social media. We've spoken a lot about our platforms that we have to speak in any number of context. And we talk about this is something that we have mm-hmm. to really be mindful of, something we have to consider. How are we exalting Christ in every aspect of communication? So in no fashion are we affirming this. It's just a mystery to me and almost really a marvel that somehow sports seems to allow and enable this.
Well, and I think that the sad truth is, even within the church here recently, we've seen, and this is, you'd have to really be following along in some deep denominational type stuff to know that this is going on, but we've seen even among Southern Baptists, something like that, tribalism, where they're going after individual leaders within the within the denomination to point out big things, minor things, how they go about leading and doing certain things, maybe their opinions, and because social media has given us that there's a barrier there, so we feel as if I can say what I want to say. Now my question is would we say that to someone's face? And I'll be honest, a lot of things I post on social media, especially on Twitter, may have to do with life and abortion. And I'm always thinking, okay, if I post this and at someone, would I also be willing to say that to them, to their face? Or is this just because I feel like I have freedom on social media? I can say what I want to say. And that's an interesting place now, because we've never had this moment.
Right.
When it comes to sports, when it comes to church, when it comes to political issues, we now have a space that allows everyone to share their opinion on any topic. And we've had this conversation before where, you know, my wife will post some table and she'll call it, you know, modern. And then somebody will comment, that's not modern. And it's like, really? We're arguing over the adjective of what this table is. And so I think all of that points back to there's something unhealthy inside of us that is coming out. And it happens in sports. It happens in across the board.
What other issues do you think kind of show themselves when we have this conversation about sports, whether it be collegiate? You know, we've talked a lot about kind of youth sports. We don't want to get a ton into that. But when we talk about fandom, you know, we've talked a lot about just the way that it plays to our heart. Sometimes. The way that it impacts our attitude, it impacts, you know, our outlook on the day. We've now talked a little bit about how sometimes it impacts our speech or you know, whatever we're tweeting out or texting out. You know, how else do you see this fandom impact us? Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back.
So you posed the question as we ended the last segment, and I think some of the other things that can kind of show their show up in these situations is, are we even allowing ourselves to enjoy this? Like the guy that said, I vacuumed, you vacuumed during that overtime, not me, which he was saying that he certainly got up and vacuumed.
Correct.
I know guys that got up during the game and went out and drove their car around. Because they couldn't watch you.
I am that guy. Like I will turn the game on and off potentially 10 times in a half.
And so you find yourself, I mean, the Kentucky game during the SEC tournament, we won that game.
Right. But did you enjoy
yourself?
But did
I enjoy any of it? I don't know. I don't think I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed going back and watching it after you knew the outcome.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we have those moments. Even I think back when Josh Dobbs was here and we threw the Hail Mary to beat Georgia, I put my hand through our ceiling fan that was on. and I enjoyed that, but we get so wrapped up that we won't even allow ourselves. And then what I find, and here's something watching with my son especially, is I'll make comments out loud about, you know, during the SEC tournament, it was they kept doing this two cameras on at the same time, and they would show the coach for no reason at all.
Drove me crazy.
And I would constantly say, this is ridiculous. Why are we seeing – why can't we just watch the game? And then Gavin started saying it.
Yes.
And then I would say – you know, I can't believe the ref didn't call that. And then Gavin started getting amped up, and I would go, okay, he's watching everything I do. But then there's also some really good things.
And that's the point. I mean, that's exactly what you said. What we have to be really careful of is that we don't miss out on so many really, and I wouldn't just say really good things. I would say in many ways, many redemptive things. Yeah. I mean, and obviously we're not finding salvation in a ball game, but things that are really good for our soul. I mean, you know, I think of the camaraderie that can be found amongst fans or about, you know, among friends. I still keep in contact with my college buddies. And one of the first things we talk about is college sports, and it gives us a chance to unite around something and to talk about something that leads us into other important conversations. I think about some of the great memories I've made with my family. You know, I think about some of the lessons I'm able to talk with my boys about. You know, when a call clearly goes the wrong way and it impacts the outcome of a game. You know, is there a chance to actually talk about something and talk about, hey, sometimes life isn't fair and sometimes sometimes the best team might not win. I mean, these are important lessons, but to your point, if we're not careful, we just miss it all because we're so emotionally vested into it. It's just a tough balance.
Well, here, you know, back during the SEC tournament, Gavin came in one day. He was gone in his room for a while, and he came in and he said, "Here, Daddy, we're ready for the game." He also wanted to paint his chest, and we didn't go that far, but. But he handed
God
me
bless that kid.
He handed
him.
Me a shield that he had made out of notebook paper, and it had a big power T on it.
Yes.
And he said, "We have to hold this during the game." Now the prideful side of me thought, "I'm a grown man. I'm not holding a little paper made shield."
You better.
And I 100% held that.
So
and then we started playing good. I'm not superstitious, but I wouldn't put it down. And so we, you know, and I'm thinking about those memories of. My 8-year-old son and his daddy, we're sitting there both holding shields during the entire game.
Yeah, which
and,
is cool.
And getting to – and chest bumping and being excited about enjoying that moment together. And it's not and here's the thing. Like, if we lose, Gavin quickly is like, okay, I'm going to go outside and shoot basketball, which is exactly how I was when I was 8. And now – I'm like, I don't want to shoot. I want to go kick the ball to the neighbor's house.
And I mean, here's the sad reality. I can't say there's empirical data. I'm sure one could find it.
Sure.
But I have enough relationships with enough pastors in this community that talk about truly our church attendance on Sundays is impacted not so much just by. Is it an away game or a home game? Or was it a – I mean, certainly, if it's a 9 o'clock start or something, that sort, we might see it kind of impact the way that people show up, if they show up the first service or the third service. I mean, we see some of that. But if you talk to most pastors, they will tell you a loss on a Saturday in the fall impacts Sunday morning attendance. And that is where – we begin to get into major, major problems. Because what it is doing, it has consumed us to such a degree that has diverted our eyes away from something that is never letting us down.
Yeah.
And that is our faith in Christ.
Yeah, it's interesting because also we're teaching, you know, for those of us that have children, we're teaching them these habits as well. And so do I want my daughters to know, hey, if Tennessee's playing well, Daddy's happy.
Correct.
But if Tennessee's not playing well, I don't want to be around my dad.
Right.
And that's very real for a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, or maybe when Tennessee's playing well, I don't mind being around Daddy. But when they're not, he tends to have a few more drinks. This is not my case. But in some cases, you see, you have fandom like that where they're going, wow, he's – It affects everything about him, and that's a problem that we have to recognize.
Right. Any practical? Do you have any practical steps? I mean, just kind of practical things that you've either tried to do or that you wish you would have tried to do, of just how you kind of keep things in perspective, even going into a game or, you know, going into the March Madness and going into the tournament. I mean, any kind of things that you would just encourage our listeners to do?
Yeah, for me, this is what works best for me is poking fun and making light of those situations. So, like, before a game comes on, I may post, hey, for the next 3 hours, if you're looking for me, I'm going to be yelling at the TV,
right,
sitting in the same chair, you know, all these things, yeah, because I want to make light of, because
right,
I'm really not going to be yelling at the TV. Right. I'm really going to be trying to take care of the family.
Right.
We may go to Dollywood, you know, sure, those type things. So you have to, at some point, be willing to say, look, I really appreciate this, but I think for some of us, we need to put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
We need to be willing to make another plan on a game day or during a game so that we can say, I can step away from this,
yeah,
and it's not going to affect me. Also, it's helpful if we are just honest about that. And
yeah,
and when we're watching it with our family or friends going, maybe we're letting this go too, like, maybe I'm letting, yeah, this go too far. Be willing to say that to your buddy, to your spouse.
Yeah. Was the Kentucky game on a Saturday?
It was.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was trying to think which game it was. I was at a wedding, and the bride was, well, I shouldn't say it wasn't the bride, but the wedding party was literally walking down the aisle, and we were in the last seconds of that game, and you have never heard a more chattery pre-wedding crowd when they pulled off that victory, you know. But and I was one of those folks. Don't,
sure,
get me wrong. I mean,
sure,
you know, everyone and knowing this bride and groom, they're, yeah, amazing folks, and they're huge sports fans, and they would have that. There was no hurt feelings in this, and certainly, of course, when the wedding started, everyone, yeah, you know, put their phones away and
put
things
them on,
that sort.
At least turn the volume,
yeah,
down.
That's exactly right. You know, but I think it does, again, speak to, you know, are there some times we just need to consider, like, or have we got caught up in the moment? And so what I will try to do is I will actually just try to walk away at times, not to turn the game off,
right,
or anything of that sort, but even if it's like, hey, I'm just going to go to the restroom, I because it's just like you get caught up in it. You're just in this like cloud of competition and things of that sort. You almost lose sight of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, just a helpful thing is, I mean, I do it even with my boys. I'll go and get a bottled water at the concession stand. Mm-hmm. Look how I said bottled water.
There you go.
And when I said bottled water, I mean, that's code for two hot dogs and a Skittles.
Some nachos.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, but I'll just try to kind of separate myself from it for just a moment so then I can kind of keep things into perspective. It allows me to think about anything. It probably gives me a little bit of protection from staying within that kind of bubble and ripping out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not the guy that really wants to tweet out my opinions on sports and things,
yeah, yeah,
of that sort, you know, so much. But it, I think an occasional break in the midst of a competition is not a bad thing if it's possible.
Yeah, and that's at times we have to be willing to say, on a number of different levels in terms of things that are going on in our lives, yeah, this needs to go on the shelf for a time. There was a time in my life, and we've had this conversation, that I was so into politics it became an idol.
Yeah.
And I legitimately, after having conversations with multiple people, completely set it on the shelf and didn't engage in it at all, didn't read about it, didn't listen to it, because I needed that moment of pulling away. Same thing with sports, same thing with these other things. And what you find in those moments, then, okay, well, I have time to fill it with the Word. I have time to fill it with prayer. I have more time to be engaged in things that matter. And your heart's going to be better. Your family's going to be better. And ultimately, you'll be a better fan, I think, from that, because then you can actually enjoy those moments instead,
yeah,
of being so stressed that you can't enjoy those moments. We'll be back.
Good enough for me and my Bobby.
So March Madness is almost, the madness is almost over.
Do you remember,
Jason,
who you actually had in your Final Four?
I had Duke, Tennessee.
I kind of forget how it all breaks down.
I think I actually had Syracuse going a lot further than they should have. Clearly, they lost in the first round, I think. And then I think I had, who was the other one?
I believe Chuck Hooton's daughter, May, had chosen Buffalo.
Okay.
So she was disappointed to find that Buffalo
that happens.
Had not advanced.
But in the final, I have Duke, Tennessee, which, if I'm completely honest, I don't want to play Duke at
no,
all. If Zion Williamson is on the floor, I don't want to play him.
Yep.
And so I do think we can match up. I think we can, but I don't want to play him at all. So we'll see. I'd love to see them get beat by somebody before the final. Things have really played out well. If you're a Tennessee fan, I mean, we're playing a three seed tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it worked out well for us.
Sure.
You know, Colgate and then Iowa.
Do you have a go-to watching kind of like viewing routine? I know that we're talking about sometimes we need a break from those routines. But, I mean, are you sitting in a certain chair? Are you eating a certain snack?
There are two chairs
okay. That
I like to eat. It just depends on the day.
Right.
Of course, the shield that Gavin made.
Right.
And here's what I love to do. It doesn't always work out that way because of time of game.
Yep.
But I love to get a Red Baron pizza, frozen pizza.
And a Sun Drop?
And a Sun Drop and eat it myself.
Oh.
And watch the game while eating the pizza. But that just depends on the start of the game, whether I do that or not.
I'm a big nachos viewing fan. Now you can pull that off on Saturdays in the fall, you know, if it's an away game or some of that sort.
Sure.
But it's kind of hard to fix nachos for every basketball game.
Well,
there's a lot more of those.
Tomorrow is at 7:30
I can eat nachos at any hour. So don't you dare question my ability to eat nachos.
Well, and I can eat a pizza and drink a Sun Drop.
Anything going on at Hope that we need to know about?
We have a number of things. You know, the interesting thing, we had somebody reach out, and they are donating 2 pallets of baby wipes.
Awesome.
To us. So I'm driving with a trailer to go pick up those wipes
awesome.
Tomorrow.
Praise the Lord.
And then we have our banquet April 25th. It's going to be a great night. You can learn more about that at investinghope.com.
Are you planning on talking to me there? I'm just curious. I mean, I'm going to be there. I just
you
want
will
know,
be
like,
there.
There's a lot of people that are there, a lot of people who want your time,
I think
want your
what
attention.
We're, what we're probably going to do.
Or are you going to blow me off?
We'll probably have a between Sundays table because a lot of people will probably want to talk to us together.
I did not anticipate that coming.
Yeah, we'll be signing jerseys, Bibles.
Oh, gosh.
Speaking of that, this is completely off topic, but, you know, a lot of people have been getting some issues about having people sign their Bibles. If somebody, let's say somebody walked up and said, "Would you sign my Bible?" What would you do? What would your response be?
I would not sign it.
Okay.
Now, I might write a note
in
someone's Bible.
Okay.
Like I might write a encouragement, like, hey, you know, good, like,
stay sweet, stay cool.
Something like that.
Jason.
We're all winners if we're drug free, like that type of deal. Now, I mean, I might point them towards a key text or something of that sort.
Okay.
And I might put my name on it, but that's different than basically autographing the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I don't know.
It's interesting. I've never
been a situation.
It's always interesting too, because if I was out somewhere, I just don't feel like I would ask somebody to sign my Bible. But my forehead, my neck,
of course. Sure.
My arm, my shirt, my cowboy hat. we went to bull riding a few weeks ago, and
there was a lot of things being signed. I would
Gavin
imagine.
Got all these guys that he never heard of or knew to sign his cowboy hat. It was a really good cowboy hat. Now
that's,
I'm like, thanks.
Not so much. Yeah.
You know, Aaron was like, "You're going to let him?" I was like, well, they've already done it.
Hey,
so,
before we get out of here, let me mention one final thing. If you don't have a church home here in Knoxville, we'd love to point you to Shoreline Church. Easter's coming up. Hard to believe. But we'll actually have 4 Easter services, 7:30, 8:45, 7:15, 8:30, 9:45. And 11, check us out, shorelineknox.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.